Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast. My name's Erin and I'm a hypnobirthing and antenatal instructor, birth activist and all-round birth geek. In this podcast, I chat to experts in the field of pregnancy and birth, debunking myths around birth, diving into the research around maternity care and exploring what is it that means you're more likely to have a positive birthing experience. If you enjoy this podcast, do feel free to buy me a coffee and fund my caffeine habit. Link to my Buy Me a Coffee page is in the podcast info. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast. Today, I'm talking to my friend, Helena Hamilton from 10 Moons Birth Keeper. Welcome back, Helena.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, it's nice to have you back. We're going to be talking about prodromal labour today, aren't we?
We are. So prodromal labour isn't always talked about that much in the UK. If you search on the NHS website, you're unlikely to find it. It's not really recognised here, but it's talked about a lot more in the States. Prodromal comes from the Greek and means precursor. So basically, it's through translation, it means the lead up to labour. But it feels like labour in all respects, except there's no cervical changes. So prodromal labour is usually defined as a feeling of being in labour that lasts for more than a couple of days without progress. So were you to go to hospital to get checked and you were told your cervix was still thick and long, no dilation, you might think to yourself, okay, maybe I'm in prodromal labour. If you said that to an NHS midwife, they probably wouldn't agree with you. They might say, that's probably just some Braxton Hicks and your body's just building up to labour. But it feels exactly like labour. When you have Braxton Hicks contractions or surges, they tend to tail off if you lie down for an hour or so. You tend to be able to go to sleep with them. They feel fairly manageable. You can talk through them, breathe normally through them, and carry on cooking dinner or something. Prodromal labour isn't usually like that. The contractions or surges will feel pretty strong. They don't go away when you lie down. Sometimes you're unable to sleep because of them, which obviously will cause issues if it goes on for a few days. Sometimes people have prodromal labour for a few weeks, which is obviously very tough. It doesn't happen to everybody, so I don't want to scare anybody off, but I think people should be aware that it can be a possibility and to prepare for it.
Yeah. And I think it probably it's probably something which, if it happens to somebody who, you know, who's pregnant, they can be wondering what the hell is going on, because, you know, when our expectations of what happens when we go into labor is our waters break, gush all over the place, contractions start, they build up, we need to get to hospital really quickly because baby's going to arrive really soon, and then there's a baby, right? And that's because that's what we see on TV and what we see in films. We don't hear or see about early labor being really intense and lasting potentially days. Which is why I wanted to record this episode and put it out there, so that if somebody has listened to this and then it happens to them, they know what's going on with their body. And, you know, the fact that the NHS doesn't recognise it as something as well, I think is really problematic, because surprise, surprise, we end up with medical intervention because you're having ineffective contractions, things are not happening, and therefore we need to intervene, right?
Yeah, and it's quite a tough one to get through prodromal labour, because you may well feel that you need pain relief and the likelihood is you won't get it unless you've prepared to go in as a patient, and then obviously the chances of intervention are much, much higher because the more tired you get, the more pain you're in, the more likely the midwife is to bring in a consultant and say, why don't we try speeding things up a little bit? You know, why don't we try some form of induction? And that will obviously bring its own cascade of interventions and problems. So yeah, being aware that prodromal labour can happen sometimes is sensible, and it's good to have a plan worked out alongside your birth plan for things that you might try to do if prodromal labour happens to you. I mean, the number one question I've had from clients is why me? Why is this happening to me? Why isn't my body working properly? And it is. It's not broken. It's just things are going really slowly. So there's three possible reasons for prodromal labour, and the first one, I'm really sorry to tell you, is that we don't know. It's the biggest
One of
reason.
those things.
We don't know why there may be no foreseeable reason. It's just happening to you, and you've just got to get on with it somehow and get through it. Second reason is the baby isn't in quite the ideal position. That's easier to work with because there's a lot of stuff you can do to help with that. So in a way, if you have prodromal labour and you're able to either assess your bump yourself or have it assessed by a midwife and find out that the baby isn't in an ideal position, that's almost a cause for celebration because then you can do something about it. You know, you can use a peanut ball, or if you have some training or know somebody who's trained, you can use some Rebozo techniques. There is the Spinning Babies website. I'm always a wee bit hesitant to suggest that because I think that it kind of wears people out, and also I think there's maybe something to be said for leaving things alone to happen themselves, but you know, I would never obviously stop anybody from going and trying the techniques and stuff. I know they work for a lot of people. Clearly they do, it wouldn't be so successful. The third reason for prodromal labour, and I don't have any scientific backing for this is just in my 9 years as a doula, is having a VBAC. And I don't know why that would cause you to have prodromal labour, but quite a few of my VBAC clients have had that when the baby's been perfectly positioned. So yeah, I can't send you to any research studies that says this is why it happens. I can only tell you anecdotally it's what I've witnessed. So it's good to have an early labour toolkit of things that you can try and work through, and a lot of that will be position changes. But I think actually, before I say any more about a toolkit, I should say don't chase your labour. Sometimes in Facebook groups, you have people who think they're being really helpful and will come and pile on somebody's post about prodromal labour and say, just go for a long hike, that'll get things started, or just do some lunges, go up and down 10 flights of stairs or something. And all you're going to do is wear yourself out because you might still be going through this in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days' time, but be knackered when you start labour, which is not a good position to be in. If you consider that quite a large number of inductions of labour end in an unplanned cesarean section due to exhaustion, chasing your labour when you're in prodromal labour can also lead to exhaustion and maybe not the birth outcome that you wanted. So, however, it's very easy for me to sit here and say that when I'm not in prodromal labour, you know. I've had clients who've been in the midst of it and they're sitting listening to me and they're going, yes, Lena, I hear you, but it really hurts. And I'm exhausted because I've not slept for 4 nights, and you know, it's difficult. So the number one thing in your toolkit, if it's possible, is rest. So I suggest a mantra of rest, distract, eat. So as you would do in early labour, is distracting yourself until you can, eating when you can, especially carbs, slow release energy, porridge, pasta, things like that, and resting as much as you're able to. If you're worried about the baby's positioning, getting hold of a peanut ball, they're about 20 quid, I think, on Amazon, and using one when you're lying down means that your rest will be productive. It won't be especially comfortable, I've got to be honest, but because you're hiking your pelvis open, it means the baby is able to wiggle about into a slightly better position. But it's not very comfortable to be lying down while you're having surges, but it will help. Other things on my sort of toolkit list are things like TENS machines are quite good for prodromal labour. Aromatherapy, arguably, that's maybe not a form of direct pain relief, but it will lift your mood. It can help you cope better. So if you're exhausted, for example, something like grapefruit is going to perk you up and be helpful. If you need to relax, then something like frankincense, or if you like it, I personally can't stand it, but if you like it, something like lavender. You can always lift it with a lemon oil will lift it and make it a bit more refreshing. Mandarin will lift it, but also keep the relaxing vibe. Flower remedies can help. The Batch flower remedies, Dr. Batch was Welsh, so he didn't pronounce his name like the composer. He pronounced it to rhyme with match. There's various flower remedies, and olive in particular can really help with exhaustion if you're flagging with prodromal labour. Anything that helps your emotional state can help you make it through another few hours or another day. Or and another thing to bear in mind with prodromal labour is that quite often, once it does flip over into established labour, it can be quite quick because your body's done so much hard work. If you have a doula or some labour support, they are not going to last the pace with you if you're in prodromal labour for 4 days or 2 weeks or something. You're going to need to tag team with your birth partner. So that's when it's great if you've got two or more birth partners, or people that can help you out with your kids if you already have children, or can help you out dropping meals off, anything to support you that you might have planned for your postnatal period. You might have to fill in favours early if you find that you're in prodromal labour.
That's a really good point, because I imagine having to try and take care of kids while you're in quite intense labor for days would be extremely difficult.
It's hard. And it's hard to do parent activities of, I don't know, jigsaws or going to the park or something when you're having to stop and breathe through surges every 10 minutes or 20 minutes or, you know, whatever pattern you're in at that time. Yeah, it's really, really difficult. I mean, there's, you know, obviously the things like getting your oxytocin flowing might help flip that switch between prodromal labour and established labour. So you could try lots of orgasms and not having artificial lights on at night, candlelight and things. It might help, equally it might not. That would be the only form of chasing your labour that I would say is okay. Definitely not the forms that are going to deplete your energy. But I mean, orgasms and candlelight, yeah, why not?
I think it's an interesting point actually about different forms of trying to nudge labor, because I think a lot of people would say go for a long walk, do this, do that. And you're right, if you're going to exhaust yourself, you're essentially possibly doing as much harm as some of the interventions in hospital, because you're going to cause a cascade because you're exhausted, and then things, slow down, they stop, we need to intervene because, because you're exhausted. Whereas doing little things like eating things that are going to make you feel good,
which are also going to give you energy and get your oxytocin going, or watching something that's funny that's going to distract you and get your oxytocin going and your endorphins, or using things like a TENS machine, or some of the aromatherapy are probably better tools to use because they're going to have a positive effect in multiple ways with no real negative side effects versus, going for a power walk or walking up and down stairs or, doing all of these, bouncing vigorously on a bounce on a birthing ball to try and, get baby's head bumping against the cervix, and maybe actually not the best ways to try and force your body to do something that it's not quite ready to do yet.
Exactly. I mean, if you're scheduled to run a marathon tomorrow morning, you're not going to run two marathons today in preparation. That would be silly. But equally, there are always the people that have early labour, go for a hike and go into full labour. Brilliant. That's wonderful. But that's not prodromal labour. Once you're aware that it's prodromal labour, and that point might be, say, 3 or 4 days in, you really need to conserve your energy as much as possible.
Well, I really hope that people find this information helpful, because it's been, I mean, even for me, it's been thought-provoking for me, because I haven't had any clients that have had prodromal labor. And you see it all the time, all these kind of well-meaning, helpful suggestions when somebody's in labor and they say things aren't progressing. Then, as a birth worker, we say, try this, 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 and this. It's almost like a standard script of things that you say. And actually, there's nuance there, isn't there? There's differences in situation and the things that we should maybe be recommending or that you should be considering as a pregnant person to try. So I've found this massively helpful as a birth
Okay.
worker. And I think that anybody who's pregnant who, is going to be giving birth in the future, particularly VBAC clients, people who are planning a vaginal birth after cesarean, because, like you said, anecdotally, they are more likely to experience this. Hopefully, they are forewarned and they have a better awareness of what it is and how they can cope. And also, birth workers and midwives who, may not be aware of this kind of situation are going to understand what that is and how they can support somebody when they
I
experience it.
hope so. I think one of the biggest things is just validating someone's experience and not saying it's just Braxton Hicks, get over it.
Yeah.
Because that's
Minimizing
really
with
not helpful.
yeah. Yeah. And I think that happens a lot to pregnant people, being dismissed or your experiences being minimized.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so unhelpful, it really is. I mean, if you're in a lot of discomfort and exhausted because you haven't been able to sleep through these surges, you're going to feel pushed towards violence when someone tells you it's just a few Braxton Hicks and you need to calm down.
Or ask for medical interventions and drugs a lot earlier, because you think, well, God, if it's this early on and I'm not coping, I'm definitely not going to cope later on. And you don't realize that actually you are experiencing intense labor sensations. I think equally just as important to validate somebody's experiences and their perception of how they're feeling.
Definitely. And you're doing so much hard work with prodromal labour. You're doing it. You're doing the labour experience. You will make it through labour. Hopefully, it will be shorter. I can't give you any guarantees, but that is often the case anecdotally with people at prodromal labour, is that when it's actually defined labour as defined by midwife, it tends to be shorter than somebody else's experience might have been without the prodromal labour.
I just find it fascinating that people's experiences of labor vary so much, it's in my head, maybe it's just the way my brain works. When I think about progression of labor, I see like a graph I don't know, it's kind of really geeky. I see a graph and I see all these lines, and some are really steep curves and some of them are going up and down, and some of them are, you know, very gradual, you know, progression, and everybody is different. And when I envisage that kind of graph of all these different lines and these different shapes of people's labours, it frustrates me that so many of the policies and the guidelines are trying to standardize and benchmark these things, because there is no standard.
Yeah.
No benchmark. Every single labourer is different. Every single individual is different. And if you don't fit the kind of benchmark line on that graph, you are far more likely to experience medical intervention to force you into this line, this benchmark of what labour should look like.
Our bodies aren't textbooks. They're not going to follow a set defined stages of labour pattern. Mm-hmm. I quite like the labyrinth metaphor for labour, because you know, and I know there's lots of different designs of labyrinth, but sometimes on some labyrinth designs, the outer line that you're on leads straight into the middle. So when you're doing the wandering around, you can wander around the longest bit on the outside, and then suddenly you get a shortcut to the middle. And I like that better, because labour can feel like that. Just when you feel like you're furthest from anything happening, suddenly you can realise, usually with hindsight, oh, that was transition, actually. The baby came 30 minutes later. You know. Yeah. But yes, it's not an A to B linear journey, is it?
No.
It's all around the houses sometimes.
And I think having an awareness of that, I think, is important, because, like I said earlier, you know, the media and, you know, our societal beliefs about birth really shape our expectations of what birth is going to be like and how we're going to experience it. And again, we almost do it to ourselves, don't we? When we don't fit that perceived norm, you know, we might panic, or we might, you know, ask for support or extra help. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, by the way. You know, asking for drugs, asking for medical intervention, there is nothing wrong with that. But I think having an awareness that actually that what you're experiencing is normal, and therefore then being able to make a balanced decision on what you want to do about it, I think is really important. And that's why I appreciate you, you know, giving up your time today to talk about this, because again, we're kind of raising awareness and normalizing different journeys to meeting your baby. And I think this is one that I think people probably aren't aware of and are quite blindsided by when it happens to them.
Yes, they really are blindsided. I think the thing that can upset people the most is that they think they're somehow broken because they're not matching their experience of birth from what they've read and seen on TV. And they can't understand why it's lasting for days with nothing happening. And in a lot of cases, medical intervention didn't help, because one of the defining characteristics of prodromal labour is no cervical progress. You would be unlikely to have a Bishop's score favourable towards induction, even if you did want to make those choices, which would be a lot to work through in the first place.
Yeah.
You might find that it wouldn't be a good starting point for you to have interventions at that time. So just trying to get through it. I mean, distraction is probably the biggest tool in the toolbox, but it's difficult when you're in pain. Oh, yeah. I never said about combs, did I? I mentioned TENS machines, but I didn't mention combs. They're quite another good form of non-pharmaceutical pain relief. Obviously, I'm disabled and I use them for back pain. It's the, Erin, what's it called again? The gait control theory of pain? Is that what it's called?
Brain gateway control theory. I think that's
Yeah. So basically, if you're feeling, because you hold the combs in a way that they're hitting acupressure points in the palm of your hand, it's distracting your brain so that it's constantly.
Everyone on the podcast can't see it, but I am holding a comb and demonstrating it. People on YouTube can see it.
So your brain's feeling the sensations from that and concentrating on that and concentrating a bit less on the surges that you're feeling. So it's not going to zero the sensation. It's not an epidural, but it is very helpful and shouldn't be underestimated. And I use them a lot for back pain, find quite helpful.
Yeah, I think combs are a fantastic tool. And I mean, you've got literally got nothing to lose by trying holding a comb.
No, exactly.
It doesn't work, then you put the comb down, you try something else. And if it does help, then fantastic. You've just found a pharmaceutical method of coping with your
Yeah,
labor
and
sensation.
very easy to do while you're watching a funny DVD or something to keep yourself distracted.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely add a comb to your toolkit. Even if you're not in prodromal labour, just like in gen as gen as a general coping method for labour, comb is
I
all.
would advise it definitely to be on your birth plan, whatever your birth plan may be. Yeah.
Thank you for coming on and talking about this, because I think it's an important topic to talk about. And I don't think there's any other podcast episodes out there. That's a big claim to make, isn't it? I haven't seen any on prodromal labour.
I
So,
haven't either. Most people, when it's happened to my clients, they've all hit Google and they've all been directed to American websites. I don't think anyone's been directed
UK face of prodromal labour.
to. Well,
Everyone's
and
going
I
to.
didn't even go on too much about feedback. Are you proud of me? I'm proud of me. I can talk about a topic that isn't feedback. Wow.
But it's kind of
They
related.
get a gold star.
Kind of related.
Oh, mum, I want
Well, thank you for coming on and talking about it. And I'm pretty sure that people are going to find it really, really helpful. Hopefully not trying to listen to the podcast episode while they are having prodromal labor. Maybe this is one for listening to beforehand. But
star.
thank you for coming on and talking about it. I've learned loads, and I think everybody listening will have learned loads. If anyone needs to find you and they want to contact you, Helena, where do they find you?
Instagram, I hang out there at 10 moons birth keeper with underscores between the 10 and moons and birth keeper. I do have a website. It's currently down because I haven't been organized in sorting that annual payment out, but my website will be back up and running, and that's 10 moons birth keeper. I'm also on Facebook. Again, if you Google Helena Hamilton 10 Moons Birth Keeper, that will come up.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on again and
You're
sharing.
very welcome. Thanks for having me.
The Better Birth podcast and all of its content is for educational and informational purposes only. You should consult your midwife or your doctor for anything in relation to your own pregnancy and birth. The opinions and the views of the guests on the Better Birth podcast are their own opinions and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Better Birth or Erin Fung.